From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns as he continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns is focusing on chapter 9, verses 16 through 27. Having heard of Israel's victories at Jericho and Ai, the Gibeonites came to Joshua with a false tale that they were from a far country. Neglecting to ask for the Lord's guidance, Joshua and the elders of Israel entered into a league with these people. 3 days later, the Israelites discovered that the Gibeonites were but another Canaanite tribe. Reluctant to break his oath with them, Joshua made them slaves to Israel from that day forward. Ultimately, the Gibeonites became workers in the temple. In a message called Sin Exposed and Expunged, Dr. Cairns is presenting some important lessons about the deadliness of sin. The Bible is emphatic that God sees everything in our lives and that He must judge sin. Often the fear of discovery is the worst part of a secret sin, whether it be in the life of a lost person or of a Christian. Both the Gibeonites and the children of Israel found this to be true. Dr. Cairns will resume the message shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Psalm 73 and verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Nevertheless, as if, notwithstanding all the foolishness and ignorance which David had just been confessing to God, not one atom the less was it true and certain that David was saved and accepted, and that the blessing of being constantly in God's presence was undoubtedly his. Fully conscious of his own lost estate, and of the deceitfulness and vileness of his nature, yet by a glorious outburst of faith he sings, Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Believer, you are forced to enter into Asaph's confession and acknowledgment. Endeavor in like spirit to say, Nevertheless, since I belong to Christ, I am continually with God. By this is meant continually upon his mind. He is always thinking of me for my good. Continually before his eye, the eye of the Lord never sleepeth, but is perpetually watching over my welfare. Continually in his hand, so that none shall be able to pluck me thence. Continually on his heart, worn there as a memorial, even as the high priest bore the names of the 12 tribes upon his heart forever. Thou always thinkest of me, O God. The bowels of thy love continually yearn towards me. Thou art always making providence work for my good. Thou hast set me as a signet upon thine arm. Thy love is as strong as death. Many waters cannot quench it, neither can the floods drown it. Surprising grace! Thou seest me in Christ, and though in myself abhorred, thou beholdest me as wearing Christ's garments and washed in his blood, and thus I stand accepted in thy presence. I am thus continually in thy favor, continually with thee. Here is comfort for the tried and afflicted soul. Vexed with the tempest within, look at the calm without. Nevertheless, O, say it in thy heart, and take the peace it gives. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee.
I'm glad I'm
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
both the Gibeonites and the children of Israel would have before them a constant reminder of both the goodness and the severity of God. The more I look at that passage, the more I think of those words of the Apostle Paul, the goodness and the severity of God, each of them came to understand that. For, first of all, the sin of both parties found them out. The sin of the Gibeonites certainly found them out. The sin of the Israelites found them out. But yet, in the mercy of the Lord, He turned what was evil to good account. As we have noted, the Gibeonites were judged, but that very judgment brought them near to the house of God. They were unique among the peoples of the earth, born heathens, condemned as heathens, yet they were brought near to the house of God. No nation outside of Israel. And I believe these, in effect, became proselytes of Israel. But no nation ever came to learn of God, His Word, His work, His sacrifice, His altar, His holy place, His feasts, His types, His gospel, as the Gibeonites did. The Israelites at first suffered for their sin. There was the sin of, or the result of dissension. Remember how murmuring and dissension had wrought havoc in Israel in earlier times. This was no small matter. There was great dissension. There was great national debate and national division because of their prayerless presumption. But again, the Lord turned it to good. For He gave them in the Gibeonites friends instead of enemies, and a special and very much respected class of workers for the house of God, for His service ever afterward. Now, as I thought of those things, I thought that we would consider the subject of sin exposed and expunged. To me, those are the two great ideas that this passage of Scripture brings forth. Sin exposed and expunged. And I have three very simple things to remark upon that. First of all, let me note from this passage that even when it lies hidden from human view, sin is a great evil. It is a deadly evil. For a period of time, both the Gibeonites and the children of Israel lived in their sin without discovery and apparently without hurt. It appeared for this time that each of them had been able to flaunt the plain teaching of the law of God and get away with it. But you know, appearances are very deceptive. And that was far from being true. Take the case of the Gibeonites. Think of the unease that the Gibeonites must have felt during that brief period between the success of their trickery and the exposure of their trickery. During that period, they must have lived with a deepening sense of uneasiness. There was always that thought, is there someone or something that is going to expose our treachery? Everything depended on the exact direction that Joshua would take for his next battle. They may have hoped to have got away with this trickery for months. They may have thought it may even have lasted for a year. Turned out very differently, but however the period, or however long the period may have been, there would always be that gnawing of heart and conscience. Will we be exposed? And when Joshua and the princes and the warriors of Israel find out that we who could not withstand them on the battlefield, we have tricked them. What will their reaction be? They have the power to crush us. What will their reaction be? What a picture of a people living in guilt and foreboding because of their sin. The sin of the children of Israel affected them rather more subtly. It would appear that there was at the first no real result in them because of sin. But again, that's only a false appearance. For the truth is that that sin must have tended to harden the hearts of the children of Israel. And believe me, when you read the history of Israel, they needed nothing to harden their hearts. They were always ready to go in that direction. Here were people, and they had been able to flaunt the plain teaching of God's Word. They had been able to set aside the august office of the high priest. God had made very clear arrangements for them to know the will of God by application to Him through His high priest. And they had simply set all that aside. Even Joshua had not taken time to go and get alone with God and seek the face of God. Nothing happened. No evil came upon them, apparently. There is nothing that will more harden people's hearts in an evil course than the beginnings of that course apparently going unjudged. So sin was working subtly in Israel to rob them of their vital communion with the Lord. We tend to think that the terror of sin lies in our being found out. That's a very ancient feeling. That goes back as far in history as man goes back to the fall. When Adam and Eve sinned, they certainly felt some guilt for their sin. But to them the great terror was not that they had sinned. The great terror was in being found out. They hid themselves from God. That has run like a poisoned river throughout the whole of human history. I remember as a young boy getting a gift, I think it was for Christmas. It was a set of books. We certainly in those days, you would never have been able to get Encyclopedia Britannica or anything like that, and it would have been far beyond my reading capabilities at that time. But I remember I got this beautiful set of books. It's always been a grief that I gave them away. And somebody else now has them as an adornment, this old set of beautifully bound books called Newton's Pictorial Knowledge. And it was full of Greek mythology, history, various things that would interest a young fellow and get him reading and get him to go further. It was very well conceived. One of the things that fascinated me about it, and I read it again and again, was the story. I'm sure many of you have read it too in other places. The story of a young boy from ancient Sparta. The Spartans had a code of ethics that said you can do whatever you want, but just don't be found out. You will not be punished for what you do, but you will be punished even to death for being found out. I remember being entranced as I read the story of this young boy who had stolen, turned out to be a little fox, and he had stuffed it inside his tunic. And he was stopped on the road and challenged, but he daren't admit that he had stolen anything. So the fox began to gnaw and to chew And he still, through the blood and the pain, he could never admit. And when he walked away a true Spartan, but injured to death. That made a great impression in my young mind. I don't think I thought through all the ethical considerations, what, at maybe 9 or 10 or years of age, whatever it was. But nonetheless, the seed was planted. How wicked. How foolish. How self-destructive to have this notion that to steal or to cheat or to kill is all right. The terror is in being found out. We all have something of that within us. But the truth is that sin is always dangerous. It is always ruinous. And as I, as a young boy, read again and again the story grippingly told of a young fellow of my own age from ancient times, I realized he had not been found out, but it killed him nonetheless. Sin is always deadly. Sin is always ruinous. And let me tell you that it is ruinous not only to sinners, but it is ruinous to saints as well. Sin is a very evil thing. Whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved. Take the Gibeonites. There are some people whose sin lies hidden, like the sin of the Gibeonites. And maybe this is exactly how you are today. You don't appear to be what you know you are before God. And like these Gibeonites, you go through life and you're pursued by guilt. You have the hounds of shame biting at your heels. You're being tracked by the law of God. There is this deep sense of uneasiness, this awful foreboding, this fear of the moment of exposure, this fear of the coming judgment. What a way to live. Sin is ruinous to you now, to say nothing of the eternity to come. And then there are others who suffer as the Israelites did, without any great apparent traumas in their lives because of their sin. Yet sin is working insidiously against them, hurtfully, and hardening their hearts against God.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.